Morning, everyone. Okay, this is the last message that we're going to do on the millennium. That's why the copy is kind of thick this time. We didn't print quite as many of these as we normally do. Does everybody have access to one? Anybody have an extra one for Brother Ron over there? Okay, make sure everybody at least has access to one. We're going to jump around through there's 19 pages of notes, and we obviously can't do that all this morning for two reasons. Okay, you figure them out. Let's bow in a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity of being able to gather here this morning. And Father, we have been challenged this morning already, and we pray that we might commit our all to you, walk in the love and the grace and mercy of God, and help us understand that there's no way through the law, that by the law can we attain unto the life that our God has called us to walk. Help us to see how gracious you are, Father, in enabling us to live the victorious Christian life in the power of your Holy Spirit. And as we've just finished singing, might the heart cry of each person here this morning be all for Jesus, all for Jesus. How precious that truth. We ask you now to bless, Father, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So we mentioned this is lesson number 8 or message number 8, as we've been looking at the millennium now for quite a while. I hope that you have a good picture in your mind of what the millennium is going to be like. And the reason I think that's so very important is a number of reasons, but one of them is you're going to spend 1,000 years there. And if you're going to someplace for 1,000 years, don't you want to know what it's going to be about? And how you're going to interact with people in the millennium, and how Christ is going to rule and reign from the city of Jerusalem in the millennium, and the place that you will have in this kingdom, the new millennial kingdom. It's going to be absolutely wonderful. This world is getting less wonderful every day. And as we look forward to the Lord's coming and his presence, we being caught up into his presence, and then we'll forever be with the Lord. Good times are just ahead for God's people. Men, never become discouraged, defeated, depressed by what you see around you. The Bible has plainly told us how bad it's going to get in the last days before Jesus comes. So don't let that bother you much, okay? It is a bother when we see the values and the life that we have had in our country, Canada, and the U.S. and European countries. It is a bother to see everything kind of falling apart and our adversary, the devil, corrupting and destroying the beauty that we once enjoyed in this country. Not saying it's totally bad now. We all had a good night's sleep last night. We all had a nice bed to sleep in. We all had some good food to eat all last week, and Lord willing, this coming week. We have a lot of blessings. You had a job. You had money to be able to work. God's still being good to us. But we're coming to the close of this age, I believe, with all of my heart. It'll soon be over. Obviously, no man knows the day or the hour, okay, when the Lord's going to come. Nobody knows that. Well, people in the past have made predictions, right, and they've all turned out to be look like a bunch of jerks afterwards. But we do know, according to the scripture, that we should pay attention to the times and the seasons. Look at Hebrews chapter 10. Pick up that thought. We know when the times and the seasons are there that the coming of the Lord is near. And I'm absolutely convinced of that. And I'll leave the rest of that up to you. Let's bow in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you now for the opportunity to teach and preach your word again. Pray, Father, as we go through this last lesson on the millennium, that you'll be gracious and minister to our hearts. We pray, for we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, you'll notice the points that we're going to look at, they have an asterisk beside them. So in the middle of page number one of your notes, and I'll make mention of those so you can see the points that we're going to try and cover this morning. In the millennium, it will be a time of labor, and then the point under labor. The period will not be characterized by idleness, but there will be a perfect economic system in which the needs of men are abundantly provided for by the labor of that system. Under the guidance of the king, there will be a fully developed industrialized society providing for the needs of the king's subjects. Okay? Now let's go down to Isaiah chapter 65 and there verse 21. And they shall build houses, this is now in the millennium, and they shall build houses and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them, and they shall not build and another inhabit, they shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree are the days of my people, primary reference here to Israel, and mine elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth for trouble. For they are the seed of the blessed of the Lord, and their offspring with them. And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear. Now go back to verse number 21. You see at the very beginning, and they shall build houses. Now why are they going to have to build houses? Remember, the millennium follows the seven-year tribulation period. At the end of the seven-year tribulation period, this world is going to look like a garbage dump. Read Revelation and see all the judgments coming on this planet Earth. It's going to be disaster zone. So at the beginning of the millennium, and we've mentioned, we don't have time to review everything, okay? But let me review this much. When Christ comes in Revelation chapter 19, he destroys his enemies that gathered against him in the land of Israel, Revelation 19. He comes back with his saints, that is, the New Testament Bible-believing Christians from the time of Christ up until the last person saved prior to the rapture. He comes back with that group of people, and that group of people will watch Christ conquer all of his enemies. Revelation 19, beginning, I think it's with verse 11. Then there will be a brief lull, and I don't know how long that'll be. Some people predict 45 days. It'll be a blank period where Christ will do a total renovation job. It might be shorter time than that. We have really no idea, I don't think. But there will be a time when Christ will renovate planet Earth. And it will be restored to the beautiful condition of the Garden of Eden at the beginning of the millennium. So then the nation of Israel comes into prominence again at the very beginning of the millennium. Okay? And Christ will rule and reign from the city of Jerusalem, from the throne of David, as we've read so many prophecies, and man, we didn't even read them all. Where Christ will rule and reign from the throne of David in the city of Jerusalem for 1,000 years, and it will be a rule and a reign of righteousness. It'll be a glorious time. Renovated earth, like the Garden of Eden, Christ ruling and reigning from Jerusalem, and the tribulation period, saints, people that made it through the tribulation period, the Antichrist is going to try and kill all the believers, that people that get saved in the millennium, and remember again, they get saved because 144,000 Jewish evangelists will cover planet Earth with a gospel in the millennium, while the Antichrist is fighting to destroy every semblance of God. God is going to do a work right under his nose, and there's going to be a lot of people get saved throughout the millennium. Throughout the tribulation period. And then the saved people from the tribulation period, they go into the millennium. And the saved Jews, according to scripture, I think we read this morning, about a third of the nation of Israel gets saved at the end of the tribulation period, and they enter the millennial reign of Christ, okay? And so that group of people will repopulate planet Earth during the 1,000-year time period of the millennium. We Bible-believing Christians come back to rule and reign with Christ. We rule and reign with him over these people that enter the millennium in physical bodies. And remember, it's lasting 1,000 years, and they're going to have children. People will be restored to long life again in the millennium like they were prior to the flood. And people will live to be... How long did they live prior to the flood? Methuselah got how old? 969 years old. People will live long again, okay? So, but what's going to happen here in Isaiah chapter 65, verse 21, and they will build houses. When the earth is renovated and there aren't any houses, that's one of the first things going to be on the agenda. They will build houses and inhabit them and plant vineyards. And so back to agriculture again. And then in verse 22, the days of my people, mine elect. Okay, the reason that's prominent and important is because the nation of Israel will be prominent throughout the entire 1,000-year millennial reign. And we've covered that in the past. Okay, and they're going to enjoy the work of their hands. And there'll be seed time and harvest, and it's going to be a glorious time. Let's move to page 2 of our notes. Now, let me talk a little bit for half a minute about the scenario with labor in the millennium. For 6,000 years of man's history, from Adam to the end of the tribulation period, well, whatever, close to it where we are now, is approximately 6,000 years. I want you to think about this. How much time did it take in that 6,000 years of man's history for motors and power to come into the picture? I looked up this morning, and the first steam engine, they say, was invented in 1765, okay? Very primitive thing. So somewhere in the early part of the 1800s, that was refined somewhat, so there were steam power, okay? And that was used then by ships to power ships and whatever else. My point is this. It took 5,800 years before man ever quit doing everything by hand, walking to where he wanted to go, taking a horse to where he wanted to go. 5,800 years. It was all manual. I think if I understand the scriptures right that we've looked at, it's going to become that again. I don't think there's going to be factories making airplanes and cars and you name it. I don't think there's going to be any of that in the millennium, okay? And if I'm wrong, we'll talk about it then. So let's go on in our verses. In page number 2, the economic prosperity. The perfect labor situation will produce economic abundance, and there will be no want. Okay, God's design is for people to work. And before the days of mechanization, pretty much most people had to work. And that's going to happen in the millennium. So let's read the note. You see the asterisks on the bottom there, page of Joel, chapter 2, verse 21. Fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things. Verse 22. Be not afraid, ye beasts of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness do spring, for the tree beareth her fruit, the fig tree and the vine do yield their strength. Verse 23, be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God. Men alive, are the Jews going to rejoice in the Lord their God in that day? And then going on, for he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. And the floors shall be full of wheat, and the fats shall overflow with wine and oil. Are you seeing the riches and the blessing of the millennium? Man, the earth is going to yield unbelievably. Verse 25. And I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten, and the cankerworm, and the caterpillar, and the palmer worm, my great army which I sent against you. That was judgment back in the Old Testament era. Verse 26. And ye shall eat in plenty, and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God, that hath dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed, and you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I, the Lord your God, that I am the Lord your God, and there is none else, and my people shall never be ashamed. Glorious day. Next point, you see number point S there, a unified language in the millennium. Do you know how many languages there currently are on planet Earth? Well, I asked Siri, and Siri came up with 7,139 languages in the world today. Can you imagine? In the millennium, there'll be one. Now, there'll be more languages spoken, we found out in a previous study, but there'll be one common language, and that will be spoken by everyone in the millennium. The next point, Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 9. Then I will turn to the people a pure language, and they shall all call upon the name of the Lord and serve him with one consent. There will be unified worship in the millennium. All the world will unite in the worship of God and God's Messiah. The scripture reading we want to use for this is Revelation chapter 5 and verse 9. Revelation 5, 9. And they sung. Now, this is a very important passage of scripture, so please, I hope and pray the Spirit of God helps you to see all the points in this passage of scripture. Revelation 5, 9. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Praise God for that. Verse 10. And hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. New Testament believers here. Verse 11. And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, notice their message, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth on the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. Now I want to go back to the beginning of verse number 9. And I want us to think of some things. Now, not that you didn't see it the first time through, but this is such an important passage of Scripture. The first thing we want to notice in verse number 9 is that they sung a new song. Singing is going to be one of the very prominent things in the millennium. Singing. What kind of singing? Well, we're going to have to wait and see. But we do know some principles that the Bible teaches about singing. And I listen to other preachers and church services through the week. And you know that, in my opinion, okay, a lot of the music in the modern-day evangelical churches is so unbelievably sad, in my opinion. I don't know how to describe it other than it's very sad. When you look at the quality of the songs that we sing in our Red Hymn Book and our Majesty Music Book, songs with a message. I mean, there's meat and potatoes in those songs. And some of the stuff that they're singing now, oh, I just feel sorry for those people that have to listen to that week after week. And here in the millennial reign, they'll sing a new song. And notice who the song is going to be about. The one who is worthy, and the one who is slain, and the one that redeemed us to God by his blood. The focal point of the songs of the millennium are going to be centered in and around the person of Christ. Bethel Baptist Church, if the Lord should tarry for 5 years, which I absolutely don't believe is going to happen, but I don't know, right? I don't know. I won't be here. but you'll be here. Make sure the songs that you sing till Jesus comes are songs that worship and praise and honor and glorify the King. Amen. Make sure Christ is the center of the song. We notice the second thing at the end of, in verse number 10. The second point we want to highlight is that we shall reign on the earth. Are you born again of the Spirit of God this morning? Do you know for sure this morning that your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life, and that when you die or the rapture takes place, you're going to be in the very presence of God forever? Do you know that for sure? If you don't know that, you're in the most serious trouble, unbelievable trouble. You need to know that for sure. And one of the things that help you to know that for sure, well, a couple of things. The Holy Spirit of God will convince you if that's real. A second thing that will convince you and the other people around you, they will be able to see Christ in you, as Pastor James mentioned in the message this morning. Can Christ be seen in you? Can that be seen in the life of obedience and surrender to God? Or are you just taking a walk through the world and you've added religion to your walk? That's a bunch of garbage. Make sure you have a real walk with the living God every day. All the stuff in this world doesn't matter much. I know you need a little bit of stuff to get through life. It all doesn't matter much at the end of the day. It doesn't matter much. What matters, are you rightly related to the Christ? Is God your Father? Is Christ your Savior? Does the Holy Spirit of the living God live in your heart and impact your life? If that doesn't happen, you're playing some kind of a game or what? Too serious to be a game. Let's make it real. Verse number 12, one more point we want to pick up here. Saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Throughout the millennium, we will sing. Remember, we mentioned in past messages that all the people of planet Earth will be required to come and worship the Lamb at the Feast of Tabernacles once a year throughout the millennial reign. And one of the songs that we're going to sing is a song as to how worthy is the Lamb. Now, I can't imagine this very well. I don't know how you would picture all the redeemed of the New Testament era, or the Age of Grace, all those redeemed, and all the redeemed, the Old Testament saints will be there. The tribulation period saints will all be there. Now, how many people will that be? Hundreds of millions, we don't know how many. I might even suggest a billion. I don't know. Here's the point, though. It'll be hundreds of millions, maybe a billion, I don't know. What will it sound like when you get a billion people together? Say, where would they all stand? There'll be lots of room for them to stand. And they're going to be focused on the Christ, the King, ruling and reigning from his throne in Jerusalem, and will be singing, worthy is the Lamb. We are there because of the Lamb. And every person since Adam to the last person born that doesn't know Jesus the Christ as the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, not going to be there. Not going to be there. They'll be in hell. And from there, they get transferred to the lake of fire at the great white throne judgment at the end of the thousand-year millennial reign. How many are going to be in that group? Well, you and I know that group's going to be way bigger than the group gathered here that are singing, "Worthy is the Lamb." Occupied, the lost are occupied, first of all, with themselves. Their own life, they want life their way. Have at it, guy. Have at it. They want the stuff of this world. Have at it, man. Have at it. Hope you get a belly full of it, because that's all you got. And they miss seeing the Christ on the cross dying for them. And they go out into a Christless eternity and spend an eternity in a devil's hell. That's the most of the people of our world. May God help us to honor and glorify the Lamb. We better hurry. We have another point, point V, if you notice in your notes, the fullness of the Spirit. Divine presence and enablement will be the experience of all who are in subjection to the authority of the King. The verses, Isaiah chapter 44, verse 1. "Now hear, O Jacob my servant, and Israel whom I have chosen. Thus saith the Lord that made thee and formed thee from the womb, which will help thee. Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, and thou, Jeshurun, whom I have chosen." Again, in reference to Israel. Verse 3, Isaiah 44, 3. "For I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. And I will pour my spirit upon thy seed, and my blessing upon thine offspring. And they shall spring up as among the grass, as the willows by the watercourse. One shall say, I am the Lord's, and another shall call himself by the name of Jacob. And another shall ascribe with his hand unto the Lord, and surname himself by the name Israel." Verse 6. "Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first, and I am the last, and beside me there is no God." Let's move on. Let's go to over a few pages. Page 8. Your notes might be slightly off from mine, but I start at the top of page 8. We're looking at the geographical characteristics of the millennium. The geographical characteristics of the millennium. The first point under that is the increase in territory. In Genesis chapter 5, verse 18, "In the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates." So the real estate that Israel will be in control of in the millennium is going to be, I want to say, 100 times or more than that, bigger than what they currently have. Let's hurry on, though. Topographical changes. Jerusalem will be the center of the world's worship. Let's move on to page, top of page 10, I think, in my notes. There, the asterisk we want to look at is, who will live during the millennium? First point, those in Israel who were saved. Go to page 13 of the note, no, page 11 of the notes. Israel will become God's witness during the millennium, and we've covered that in detail in the past. We'll not go there. Page 12 of the notes. The second group who will be in the millennium, the resurrected Old Testament saints, will be present in the millennium. So just mark that down in your heart and mind. And then the next asterisk at the bottom of page 12, the tribulation period saints will be present in the millennium. And now the verses we want to read there from Revelation chapter 5, and we'll probably have to close with this. So let's read carefully and let the Spirit of God speak to our hearts. Revelation chapter 5, verse 1. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?" And no man in heaven nor on earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. Verse 5. And one of the elders said unto me, "Weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof." And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, and one of the four beasts in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth unto all the earth. Now that those seven simply describe the perfections of God. Verse 7. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of the odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, "Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth." So let's go back to the top of the passage in Revelation 5:1. John is describing here what he saw as God revealed it unto him. He saw a strong angel and a book. And the cry went out, "Who's worthy to open the book and to loose the seals?" These are the sealed judgments that are described in the book of Revelation. And they couldn't find anybody worthy. And then verse 5, it says, "Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah." Question, who's the Lion of the tribe of Judah? Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ. He's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Now, I want to contrast. When Jesus came the first time, remember in Matthew chapter 3, what did John the Baptist say about Jesus? Do you remember? "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." There's Jesus. "Behold the Lamb of God." When Jesus came the first time, he came how? As the Lamb. To be sacrificed. To be nailed to a cross. To bleed and die. And shed his blood to atone for the sin of man. The Lamb came the first time. Question, who's coming the second time? The Lion of the tribe of Judah. Let me mention this point. Every person on earth needs to come, first of all, to the Lamb. Needs to come to Calvary. Needs to see the man, the Christ, the Lamb who died on the cross for the sins of the world. Behold the Lamb of God. Look at the Lamb. The word "behold," stop and look, folks. We did that this morning as we observed the Lord's Supper. We stop and look at the Lamb. The broken bread reminds us of the broken body. The fruit of the vine, the grape juice, reminds us of the blood of Christ. Behold the Lamb. Behold the Lamb. The people who refuse the Lamb will meet the Lion one day. And according to Philippians chapter 2, their stubborn wills and their knees will bend one day to the Lion of the tribe of Judah. and they will bend before him as they see his awesomeness and his power and his glory. They'll be broken before him, but too late. Too late. Now they meet him as the lion who will say, "Depart from me. Never knew you, man. Never knew you." Depart to where? The lake of fire. For how long? For all of eternity. How long will it take that sinner to pay his sin debt in the lake of fire? It'll take forever. Does that give you some picture of how wicked and destructive sin is? Sin is so bad, it would take a sinner in hell in the lake of fire forever, and he'd never get his debt paid. It's so bad. To neglect the Lamb who took the sin of mankind, took your sin and mine on his person on the cross and paid. He paid my sin debt in full, man. It's paid. Yours too can be paid. Is it paid today? If it's paid, you have a wonderful Lord and Savior as your Lord and your Savior. If it's not been paid, you can come today and fall on your face at the foot of the cross before the Lamb and cry out for mercy and have sin forgiven and receive the precious gift of life that comes from the Lamb. Our Father,